It's Free Talk Live, live Saturday edition of the program. As always, you're invited here to join us on the radio and take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever is on your mind with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
If you want to dial in toll-free, you can join us here at number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype as well. The Skype username is lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out to us that way if you want to sound better than every other caller, because Skype is like an automatic call quality boost when you do that. So Skype username lrn.fm, and again, that toll-free number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Coming up, I do want to talk about this Philando Castile case, the man who was shot to death by a police officer who, in his car, he in no way posed a threat to said officer. He was a licensed concealed carry holder, apparently. And that cop ended his life, and now that cop has been acquitted of all charges against him. The video is out, and there's an interesting story over at Tech Dirt about how the cops sent a warrant to Facebook to dig up dirt on his girlfriend, on the victim's girlfriend.
And so she live streamed the event.
Right.
And
so that was the first video, but now I guess there's a dash cam video that has come out as well, as I understand it.
Yeah, the police dash cam. Yeah.
Right. So we can talk about that. But Mark, you wanted to talk about boys and skirts for some reason.
That's right.
To start the show out here tonight. So what's the story? Where's it coming from?
This is from The Guardian at theguardian.com.
All right.
And it's about a school in England, but it doesn't particularly matter because schools are like this all over. They've got their rules. I remember going to school and you couldn't even wear clam diggers. I grew up in Florida, Bradenton, Florida, Manatee County, Florida, and it's hot there, especially,
yeah, it is.
You know, you're talking
all year long, basically.
Right. It gets cool sometime in January and gets warm again in mid-February.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically how it is. And they made us wear pants all the time.
Now, was this in the private school?
Private and public.
And public.
Yeah. So I went, you know, I think that in kindergarten we were allowed to wear shorts, but after that we had to go to long pants.
Now you're like 9 years older than me, and
right,
I'm
I was
in
born
my
in 1971.
I'm in my late 30s at this point. So when I got into school, that was not a problem. I was able to wear shorts the whole time, basically. So they must have changed that.
How
at some
short
point.
Were these shorts that you were allowed to wear?
Well, I think there was some sort of limitation on the number of inches above the kneecap that they could be. I don't recall what that was, but there was some sort of limitation because they didn't want people wearing super short shorts and, you know, showing off their junk or their...
Sometime in, like, around high school, these longer shorts, these board shorts or whatever, came into fashion.
Like the skateboarders would wear?
Yeah.
So they would go lower than your knee?
Well, they would go to about your knee, somewhere in that vicinity. But prior to that, shorts were short. I mean, you know, I had a gym outfit that you had to wear. You always had to wear a particular outfit in gym. It usually had the school colors.
Right.
You know, and these little polyester shorts were quite high on the thigh, you know. They were just little gym shorts, and that's what shorts basically were
in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, and that time frame.
That's true.
Mid
you're right
to
about
early
that.
80s, and so you know I can kind of see that. But then you know when fashions changed, the schools didn't. I presume that the you know maybe some schools still have long pants. I don't know, but clearly this one does in Exeter, England.
England, okay.
Yeah. So what's happened here is there's some teenage boys decided to wear skirts to show the school that they, you know, to protest their no shorts policy. So the boys have to wear pants, but the girls can wear these skirts that come above the knee. They're not terribly far above the knee, mind
right.
you. They are what I would consider modest apparel for a young lady. And they're, you know, checkered. So basically, not checkered, but plaid. And so basically, these young men are wearing, they're wearing kilts. There's nothing special about that. But they all got together and decided they were going to protest by wearing these skirts. And you know, it just kind of shows the ridiculousness
of the situation.
Yeah. So some had borrowed them from girlfriends, others from sisters. A few had gone the extra mile and shaved their legs when the ISCA Academy in Devon opened on Thursday morning. An estimated 30 boys arrived for lessons, heads held high, in fetching tartan patterned skirts. The hottest June day since 1976 had led to a bare-legged revolution at the secondary school in Exeter. Now, I mean, it's hard for me to feel bad for somebody in England having a warm day, having grown up in Bradenton, Florida, in a house with no air conditioning.
Yeah, sure.
Having to go to school in long pants. But the simple fact that I suffered under stupid rules doesn't mean that everyone should suffer under stupid rules.
That's nice of you to allow everyone else to be
okay. I just don't know what I got as far as building character.
By not being able to wear shorts?
Yeah, by having to wear long pants.
That's a great question. I mean, I would guess, you know, if there's anybody out there in our audience that can weigh in on that, I'd love to hear, you know, what does this no shorts rule do for a teenager or a younger person, because presumably it applies to elementary people as well, but this was, you said, secondary school.
Yeah.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I would guess that somebody would say that it is just more respectable to wear long pants. If you're going to, for instance, a conference, you know, like a business conference, it's expected that you're going to wear long pants to that conference.
Right. You know? I would like to point out that we're talking about public school and not a business conference.
Right, but they could argue that it's to prepare you for the real world.
Knife fighting and cussing? That's what I learned. And, you know, those are the kind of things people learn in public school.
Did you really learn how to knife fight?
No, I didn't. I just think it's, you know.
Cussing,
I mean,
yes, though. Fights, yes.
Long pants didn't get anyone to act like an adult there. There were, you know, I went to a from a private school in kindergarten through eighth grade to a public school in ninth grade through 12th grade. And it was a real culture shock. The riffraff went to public school, and I learned about this riffraff, and it wasn't
very... And you became one.
It wasn't very nice, and I, you know, I consider going to public school one of the worst choices that I made as a young person, and I did make that choice. It was not my parents. If I hadn't gone, then, I don't know, perhaps I wouldn't have ended up in prison.
I would say there's a good chance you would not have ended up in prison.
Yeah, so I guess my question for people is, okay, should young people, why should young people have to wear long pants? Young men have to wear long pants, and then young women can wear these, you know, breezy little skirts. And secondarily, is there a problem with young men wearing kilts to school too? Is that a problem?
Well, what happened to them? Was there any kind of consequence? Because they were wearing skirts slash kilts or whatever, and, you know, the only difference between shorts and those things is that there's not two holes to put your legs in. There's only one.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only difference.
Right. It's really sort of silly. Essentially, the folks here, the management of the school, they're like, we don't know what to do. The media catches, you know, you're talking about dozens of teenage boys wearing skirts to school at the same time, with a little bit of, you know, media attention. It just blows up. Fortunately, the administration is not stupid enough to...
So they're dancing, you know, around this.
Lop these boys' heads off on the school lawn or whatever it is that they would do for punishment. And so they just decided, you know, they're going to step back and say, we're going to consider, you know, different rules and that sort of thing. And it really makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Okay.
This protest was successful. However, I tend to think if this was done in the South when I was young, that it would have been unsuccessful. They would have, you know, reacted poorly to this sort of protest.
Well, one of the new rules, I mean, if they reacted poorly, one of the rules could be that they would require the females to wear long pants as well.
I doubt it. They would just say that, you know, that's for women. You know, that's how it would have been, at least, you know, where at my school. It's been 40 years or whatever period of time, 30 years. And, you know, obviously things have changed. But I think, you know, is your kid allowed to wear shorts to school? To what age?
And what's the benefit of wearing the long pants over the shorts? Is that somehow factor into
my thoughts there? Is that, yeah, you can't sit in... Now, summer school, we could wear shorts, mind you, but not during the regular. It's very important to be you know, all buttoned up during the regular school year.
The toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us and weigh in, 855-450-3733 or Skype in. A Skype username, lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us on the radio waves here. Our toll-free number for you to join us here on the live Saturday edition is 855-450-FREE. We're talking about, well, I guess is it technically cross-dressing? I suppose it is.
Nah.
No, only if you wear, if you only wear half women's clothing, that's not all the way cross-dressing.
Putting on a skirt, which, by the way, a plaid skirt, I'm sorry, is just not cross-dressing.
Okay.
It's just, once it goes on, it becomes a kilt.
It's a kilt.
Yeah.
Okay. Can women wear kilts, too?
Women can wear whatever the hell they want, but
it still a kilt when a woman wears it, or is it then a skirt?
I think that it would depend on whether they have the little leather bag that hangs in front at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that standard on kilts,
leather bag? Yeah, so kilts don't generally have pockets.
My kilt,
I have a Utila kilt.
Right.
And it has pockets.
That thing's pretty badass.
It's sort of a modern-day kilt.
Right.
And I like it, but I'm a little self-conscious to wear it all the time.
It would get dirty if you wore it all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that sort of around town I generally don't, but there's some events that I'll wear it, and I like to do that. But I think that basically you would want, when men wear these things, it's not officially a kilt if they wore the skirt, but it looks so much like a kilt that it just doesn't matter.
So I want to let you know about LibertyStickers.com. If you care about freedom and you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty, then the back of your car is a great option. And LibertyStickers.com has loads of choices for you. They've got a vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic liberty-oriented messages, which you can go and check out and order at your leisure at libertystickers.com. Libertystickers.com. And by the way, before we continue with the discussion, I do want to welcome our brand newest affiliate, which is actually two stations, KINA AM 910 in Salina, Kansas, as well as its FM translator in nearby Abilene, Kansas at 94.5 FM. So welcome aboard to our new listeners or newer listeners there. You are probably noticing already that Free Talk Live is not your typical talk show. Not only do we cover issues that are pretty uncommon compared to other shows, we are also open phones all the time. So if for whatever reason you're hearing us talk about the kilts and skirts and such at this school over in the UK, but that doesn't float your fancy, you can just call in about anything that you want here and get on the radio with your thoughts at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. So again, welcome to KINA's listeners there in Salina. And that brings our total count of radio stations over 170. We're at 173 right now. So welcome aboard. Now, so back to the story here, Mark. The young men, and do we know how many had participated in this particular protest? Some young men from a school, what is called a secondary school. I don't know if that's the equivalent of a high school or a middle school in the UK. But they were protesting the no shorts rule by wearing skirts to school.
Yeah, an estimated 30 young men, and this is pretty well organized. Kids have better organizational tools in the form of texts and group chats and things like that than we ever did when we were growing up. I don't even know how I guess you'd do a phone tree or something in order to get something like this set up when I was in high school. It would have been, the mid-80s. We had to wear long pants every day of school. We went to school until early June and then started in again after Labor Day. In Florida, that just, it may not be the hottest months, but it's darn close to the hottest months. I'm sure some of the hottest days of the year will come during the school year this year in Florida. So, I don't know why they decided to go with those rules, and maybe where I am, the rules have changed. Where I grew up, the rules have changed, and maybe they haven't. I don't know the answer. It doesn't particularly matter to me. I'm sure that there's schools in the United States right now where young people can't show their calves without getting in trouble. And to me, it's just backwards. It just doesn't make any sense. Specifically, if it's based on gender, if you're telling one one sex that they can wear something that comes to the knee, and the other sex they can't wear something that comes to the knee, then that's a problem. Are boys naturally cooler? I think not. I think they're actually naturally warmer than girls. So why do we have this rule? And what I'd say it is that sort of
old traditions die hard.
It's the old traditions. It's it's back when swimsuits went down to your wrist and down to your ankles.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the nonsense that's still holding on. And because it's young people, no one cares.
Do you think the pendulum will ever swing back that way? You know, like the pendulum of style and what's acceptable as far as revealing, you know, skin. Will we ever have full length body suits?
I would say no, but you know, my reasons are probably a little strange. I would say we are among I'm 46 years old. I'm probably going to be somewhere, as a guess, if you read these futurists, somewhere around the breaking point for the people that live forever. The idea is that they're going to be able to extend life potentially indefinitely, for generations probably that are already born. And if that's the case, then, you're going to find a very low birth rate because – you know, somebody who's 200 years old is unlikely to say, you know what, we need more kids. And they probably won't even be able to procreate because their brains will be floating around in robot bodies or whatever the case may be. So, no, I don't think that'll be the case. But would it happen in the future? I don't think so. The world is becoming less religious over time. And I don't mean your religion. I mean just sort of religion generally. Religions seem to be the reason that people are conservative as far as dress goes. And I think that, if you take a look at Western Europe, it's become very unreligious, except for that they're letting in Muslim immigrants. But and oftentimes there's a clash there. So, no, my answer is no, I don't think that'll happen.
So did you get the update on this story, Mark? What's the date on your Guardian piece that that you have there?
I've got it from, I don't know, it doesn't show the date on mine.
Okay, I've got one here, headline, Exeter School's Uniform Resolve Melts After Boys' Skirt Protest.
Okay, go ahead.
That's a different story. So according to this here, this was published yesterday, Britain's heat wave this week sparked open rebellion at Iska Academy in Devon with boys wearing skirts in protest of the rules that insisted male pupils wear long trousers, even as temperatures soared into the mid-30s. That's Celsius.
Yes.
By the end of the week, the school's icy resolve finally melted in the glare of the international exposure. The Exeter Secondary School has announced that boys will soon be able to choose to wear shorts instead of its tartan trousers after the box pleat rebellion.
Tartan trousers? How awful.
What does tartan mean?
These are plaid trousers.
It caught the attention of media around the world. Amy Mitchell, the school's head teacher, sent a message to parents saying that shorts would be allowed, but only from the next school year after consulting with pupils and parents. So it's a win.
Well, it's a
protest
win for next year. They're going to be still hot.
It's almost summertime, right? So they're probably going to be getting out of school.
I don't know what
soon.
Their rules are in England, but
presumably they take summers off, right? I mean, that's pretty common.
What are they going to school for now at June 23?
Pretty sure the local schools are just now ending.
When I was a kid, it was you could pretty much count.
It was
on
different
being out of school.
It was different in Florida.
6th of June.
Yeah, it was different in Florida.
Okay.
Up here in New England, it is later June before they get out.
I see.
More coming up here. 855-450 free. If you want to weigh in with your thoughts, we welcome you. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free, hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us on the radio and bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype, so you can Skype in here at Skype username lrn.fm.
I want to tell you about a marketplace where you don't need money. You can exchange your talents for other people's services and abilities at Simbi.com. You can forget about the old economy. This is your economy. You won't believe the diversity of services that are offered at Simbi.com. hundreds of thousands of people are acting within the symbiotic economy. Go get an account at Symbi.com and take a look around and post your services. I think it's amazing. I've been getting some voiceover work done for some ads here on Free Talk Live, and it's been awesome.
Great way to get some new voices, too.
Yeah, right.
The same people over and over.
It's one of the things that's really awesome about this is I'm getting some people who really know what they're doing. Maybe they just have natural talent. Whatever it is, it doesn't take that much to talk into a microphone.
Right, that's why we chose this business.
Right. It's so much better than laying block or whatever. And they're doing a great job, and I'm sure that they've got computer lessons over there. People are talking about gaming, you know, all kinds of things. You know, whatever it is that you might imagine, there are people exchanging it there. Simbi.com. Simbi as in symbiotic. Simbi.com.
Some young males at the secondary school in the UK protested recently by protesting a ban on shorts. You had to wear pants if you're a male, but not if you're a female. You could wear a skirt in that case. So they wore some skirts to school. And apparently they got the rule revoked for next school year. You want to weigh in? Like Kurt here in Connersville, Indiana, you can do that. Hey, Kurt, you're on Free Talk Live and you're listening to WIBC-FM.
How you doing this evening, fellas?
What's on your mind, Kurt?
Well, just clarification. The difference between a kilt and a skirt is the way that the garment wraps around the body.
Okay. Uh-huh.
A kilt wraps to the left, just like when you button your shirt.
Yeah,
it's left oversets the right.
But that's only for men's shirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And women's shirts, it's right oversets the left?
Correct.
Yeah.
Huh.
Same difference between the kilt and the skirt. But if the kids shave their legs, shame on them. They're wearing skirts.
Yeah, I got to say, you shave your legs, you're wearing a skirt, as far as I'm concerned. I tend to agree. I guess I would be a little more generous on which direction it wraps, I can see
it was their intention to wear a skirt. That was the point of the protest.
The girls get to wear a skirt, so they're wearing the same garment that the girls would wear.
That's right.
You know, when you're talking about 11, 12, 13-year-old boys, it doesn't really matter. Their waists are all about the same.
Uh-huh.
I think that once a garment, a skirt-like garment that is plaid goes on a young man, that it gets very close to being a kilt.
Oh, indeed it does.
Yeah. But, and do you know what the bag is that hangs in front of the kilt on the traditional kilt?
Yeah, it's called a sporran.
That's right, sporran. Huh. And don't they usually have a little knife involved somewhere, too?
That's the skindu, and that's usually worn tucked into the top of the stocking or hose.
Oh, I see. And
it's called the black knife because typically you'd use it for doing black deeds like kidney thrustings and throat slittings.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Wow.
There you go.
This is excellent.
Those are the things that go basically with a kilt, right? So you got to have the bag, you got to have the little knife.
Nope.
Yep,
or you might carry a dirk, which typically originally was a broken down sword.
Right, some sword that that broke and then they just sharpened it up, right?
Yeah. Say, 10, 12-inch blade.
Yeah. That would generally be used for left's black deeds. I know that usually soldiers had to provide their own kit, which included a knife, a fork, and sometimes they'd, spoons were relatively uncommon, but, they'd have them.
Well, let's just say that the dirk would be used for wet work.
Okay. Yeah, so wet work usually means stabbing somebody, above the waist,
or anywhere you can get them.
Excellent. Amazing, thank you, Kurt, for the very informative call. More than I ever knew about kilts.
Yeah, usually the guys that wear the kilts, they know the names for all this stuff. I've never taken the time. I know that my family has two different tartans somewhere in the lineage, and neither one of them I just thought were the greatest in the world, but whatever.
So there you go. The young boys' protest was successful. The school's headmaster did send a message to parents saying shorts would be allowed, but only beginning in the next school year, and they did confirm that the boys involved in the protest would not be punished for wearing the skirts. Quote, parents and pupils will be aware that the hot weather these last few days has prompted interest in our school uniform policy, and notably the trousers rather than shorts worn by our male students. The school noted Riley in a, quote, hot weather and school uniform update, unquote, on its website. They continued saying, contrary to news reports, we have not banned shorts. Shorts are simply not part of our school uniform. Well, that's basically the same difference.
I just love bureaucrats. They're the same everywhere. We have not banned shirts. We just simply don't allow them.
Well, I'm not sure if these are bureaucrats because I don't know if this is a private school or not.
You're a bureaucrat if you act like a bureaucrat.
Really?
Okay? So
okay.
Bureaucratic stuff. One can work in the private sector
and still be a bureaucrat. I see.
I understand that there's a tighter definition of sort of someone who works within a government bureau.
Yeah.
But, you know, nonetheless, the bean counters of the world, the rule followers, the, it says right here, you know, those people. You know, if you act like a bureaucrat, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Quote, however, as summers are becoming hotter, shorts will be introduced as part of our school uniform next year.
Oh, now it's global warming.
Having first consulted with parents and students, we feel that introducing a change in uniform partway through this year would put undue pressure on some of our families. So I guess the pressure would be of having to buy the new school-approved shorts.
Yeah, so...
Because it'll be a uniform short. You won't just be able to wear any old shorts.
Often parents... I've talked to parents whose kids go to public school that have the uniforms and that sort of thing. When I went to public school, you didn't have uniforms. You just had to wear long pants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could wear jeans as though that's, you know, buttoned down or something. But nonetheless, you know, what they said is that the shirts were a little more, they were more costly than it would be if you just say went to some discount clother and got some shirts and some pants,
right.
But they weren't terrible as far as costs go.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything. Jay is in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I guess we'll compare the wearing of kilt to wearing of the diaper that I feel that our president that I did vote for. And I still have confidence in, but I would just like to compare him to a few guys. Scott, I think he's acting like Scott off of the Kardashians.
I don't know who that is.
Sure. He used to have class, I'm sure, but he needs to start acting like Chase Crisley with a little more class.
I don't know who that is either. These pop culture references just go right over my head.
I'm sure most of our audience gets it, though.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Can you explain who those people are? I mean, at least help me out, man. I want to know what you're saying, and I don't know.
Sure. Scott off the Kardashians acts like a spoiled, rich brat.
Okay.
He has great upbringing, I'm sure. He comes from money. He probably had class at one time. Now, there's a gentleman that's named Chris Crisley who has a show as well, reality television, who seems to have quite a bit of class. And his son, Chase, who is obviously a spoiled brat as well, has what we call class. And I just think that our president needs to go back and start acting with a little bit of class.
Now, what is it that he's doing that
I have questions, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, what is it that Trump has done specifically that has upset you as somebody who voted for him?
Well, I think just instead of running his ideas through people, I think he's, the way he tweets, the way he just snaps off at comments, you know, quit talking about the election and that you beat Hillary. We got that.
Is he still talking about it? Is he still tweeting?
Oh, absolutely.
He seems like more of a liability for the people that he's put in power there in the, you know, his cabinet and whatever. He seems like more of a liability for them than he is an asset in many ways. You know, it's not a reality TV program there at the White House.
It might as well be, though. It sure feels like one.
Could you hold on to him?
If you want to hang on, Jay, we'll bring you back here. 855-450-FREE, because Mark's got some more questions. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us, too. It's Free Talk Live. You dial on in toll-free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. The Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And I do want to let you know how you can go and download all kinds of episodes of Free Talk Live. Maybe you are just now tuning into the show for the first time and you want to hear more of us. You can go to freetalklive.com and you can download literally more than a decade's worth of shows for free. Those other talk show hosts out there doing other shows besides ours, they tend to want to restrict their websites and demand that you pay some sort of fee or registration fee and log in and all that. Now, on freetalklive.com, you just go click and download. You can easily subscribe to our podcast. You can listen to live streaming there as well. It's all free, so head on over to freetalklive.com. As we go back to Jay in Indianapolis, he sounds a little frustrated with the presidential candidate that he voted for, Donald Trump. Sounds like you were saying that Trump's been acting kind of bratty, like some of these reality TV show stars. And Mark, you had another question or two or however many for Jay.
Yeah, so Jay, you were saying that he is acting without class. I never, I had never had an expectation that Donald Trump would act with class. I did have a hope that he would make good Supreme Court nominations, and from that standpoint, he has. And so, therefore, you know, I didn't vote for him. I voted for Gary Johnson, but nonetheless, I can live with the pony show that's going on in the White House. But I have this question. What define class the very best way that you can? Because it to me, this is sort of an amorphous word. I don't entirely know what it means. I've heard lots of people use it. I just don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I guess class is having, I'm going to use another adjective, but the tact to recognize how people perceive you. You come from a well-off family, so you should have manners. And I think that he is so unhinged that what I used to see in him from the Apprentice show was what I call good intentions to raise money for charities. And you see, a grand building, and he knew how to act businesslike. And I guess if you have tact, you know how to act businesslike, you might have a little class as well. So I guess I don't really know the fine definition, but he's not acting businesslike. He's not acting
Man besieged. He doesn't look good doing it from that standpoint. I hope him the best and hope he can turn things around here or whatever. But, personally, I just don't. I would agree with you entirely that he's just not making himself look terribly presidential. And if he just gave up his habit of tweeting, he'd be better off.
Love it. I think it's so entertaining. Read all of them.
You're entertained, absolutely.
But I actually did subscribe to his tweets. I've never done that with a politician before.
His tweets, what he should do is he should Covfefe yourself. He should write out his tweets ahead of time and then wait 24 hours and see whether or not he still wants to send them. But these tweet storms.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, it should not. Yeah, of course it does. Because it's a good idea.
Jay, anything else you want to share?
Jay.
And that's a good point that I guess I brought up was maybe he was contractually not allowed to talk about the millions of dollars that the Apprentice show actually did raise for charity. I don't know what kind of contract he had, but, I never heard that once. And, you talk about how some politicians don't give money to charities as much as other politicians, but, I just think that, he raised a lot of money for a lot of people, and I think that went unspoken. So I still have faith in him. I think he can get us there, but he just needs to
get you where. Get you where?
Where do you think he's going to get you?
Well, I think he's going to get us. Hopefully with the Republican Congress and Senate, we can start to look at the budget. We have to be fiscally sound. We have to run the country like a business. You don't spend more money than you have coming in.
Well, that would be a nice rule, sure. And when's the last time the government did that?
A balanced budget amendment would be really, really, really awesome. You would think that the politicians would go for it, but this, this notion of spending straight into debt is really ridiculous. But frankly, the whole Federal Reserve system, the way it's created, the Federal Reserve notes are debt notes. They're the debt from the Treasury, which claims essentially your and my labor through the income tax to pay off debt in the future. They should have some value-backed currency, and then if they did have a value-backed currency, they could actually balance a budget. But
never do that because, they love the ability to just print money. The government, getting the government – hey, Jay, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
Hey.
The government loves the printing press. It's their most powerful tool. It's more powerful than – you know, bombs and planes or whatever, because it can pay for all of those things.
If you had the ability to create money out of thin air, if you had a money tree, as it were, would you get rid of it because you know, it's slowly you know, destroying your life, and that's what's happening with the government. That's the reason.
But it doesn't destroy their lives. They are living pretty. They're the ones with the, you know, lifetime pensions. And
but it's destroying the government. I mean,
sure, but they don't care about that. By the time they're out, it'll still be there, most likely. I mean, it's very unlikely. At some point, all governments fail. You know, they only have a limited lifespan. This one's been going for quite a while, so maybe we're getting towards the end of the United States federal government. But the odds are that most of these politicians, by the time they call it quits and retire, that the government's still going to be there and they're still going to collect their pension. So really, they can just do whatever they want to do, and
most
there's almost
of them
no
seem
consequence.
To be in their 70s, I agree with you. And this, you know, now they're really able to rake it in because they've given their lives to you know, the beast, as it were. But you know. What I think of whenever you say that the government's going to go on is I hear George W. Bush came in with a debt of $5 trillion.
So, yeah.
You know, and it was pretty low at that point. It stayed relatively stable with a slow increase up to then. When George Bush left, it was $10 trillion.
That's right.
When Obama left, it was $20 trillion.
Roundabouts,
now,
yeah.
I didn't know what's it going to be when, you know,
40?
In 8 more years. Now, I don't
know. How about
know.
4 years? It could be 40 in 4 years. Who knows?
Well, it could be 40 in probably, if the pattern stays, 40 in eight years.
Yeah.
Whether that's Trump, I don't know whether Trump's going to be one or two terms. I wouldn't claim to know.
He's already registered for his second run.
Yeah, the earliest registration ever. But good for him or whatever. It's really hard to unseat a sitting president.
Yeah,
it hasn't
true.
Happened too many times in our lifetimes. So we'll see how that goes.
If you want to join us on the radio here live, Saturday edition of Free Talk Live, that's what we're doing. And our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I had an interesting conversation, long conversation today at the Bitcoin meetup here in Keene, New Hampshire. A lady from Vermont came over and had all kinds of questions about Bitcoin. She'd actually bought some, and some Ethereum, actually. She bought both of those. And she had them at Coinbase, but she didn't really know that much about it. So we had a nice conversation, and I talked to her about, you know, why I believe that Bitcoin is a great tool for peace. You know, as a minister in a peace church, it's part of my mission to help get Bitcoin into people's hands. And the reason why is because the government printing press is a tool for war. It is a way that these wars that the government has been doing for so long in our lifetimes and beyond have been financed was through the printing press. If people actually had to cut a check in order to finance a government war, if the government had no ability to print money, if they just had, you know, like you were saying, a gold-backed currency or something like that, where, you know, they couldn't just arbitrarily inflate the money supply, and people actually had to write a check to the government to pay taxes rather than the government could just print money as it can now, that would be a huge check on the government's ability to just go ahead and invade other countries or drop bombs or whatever.
Well, that much is true, and I think it's worth pointing out that in World War II, they asked everybody to buy war bonds. Well, why is that? Because the currency was tied to a gold standard. It was an international gold standard. It wasn't quite a legit gold standard, but nonetheless,
it was something.
It was tied. Yeah. They asked you to buy war bonds. Well, what did George Bush Jr. say regarding, you know, financing the war when he was asked by reporters?
Go shopping.
He told people to go shopping, and because he understood that you know, under our current system with money created out of debt, that it's the velocity of currency that matters. Now, velocity of currency doesn't particularly matter with a value-backed currency because the currency is worth something. Saving is incentivized.
You want to hold on to it, yeah.
But I remember in 2005, Americans spent 105% of their saving of their earnings.
That's 105. Bad.
How do you spend 105%? You go into debt. That's because
credit card debt.
Our current system incentivizes the velocity of money, incentivizes debt, it incentivizes bad fiscal decisions, and then what do? We blame the millennials for bad decisions. What? Are you kidding? You've sat around and you've allowed these stinking politicians, bankers, and bureaucrats to, you know, to warp the system into something perverse, and then you blame the kids? It's ridiculous.
We got more on the way. You can share your thoughts toll-free, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Hour 2's coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com recently reported Bitcoin transaction fees have increased by more than 1,200% since 2015. To many Bitcoin proponents, the current fee market is moving way too fast, making Bitcoin unusable for certain transactions. The fee market and slow confirmation times have also increased the tension concerning the block size debate. However, if there are wallets with low amounts of Bitcoin that can't cover the fees, they become virtually unspendable. Learn more at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. Live Saturday edition of the show. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I just watched for the first time the video footage of the death of Philando Castile, a gentleman.
I can't believe this has escaped you up to this point.
I don't make a point, Mark, of watching all these police violence videos, these police shootings.
I don't like violent videos generally, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like violent videos generally.
Right. I've been doing this show for a long time. We've seen a lot of police abuse videos, and I'm just not interested in seeing a whole bunch of these things anymore. I've seen my share of them, and it's just, they're hard to watch. I mean, I don't get enjoyment out of it, so I want to do things I enjoy, you know? I know that the police are, in a lot of cases, corrupt. I know that they do the wrong thing a lot of the time, that they can get away with murder, which
this
is just...
This doesn't look like corruption to me. This looks like bad judgment.
Whatever, man. I don't know anything about this cop, except for the fact that he just got away with murder. Because apparently the jury in this case that was trying this particular cop on multiple felony counts of manslaughter.
I think manslaughter is a better term for what might have occurred here.
Whatever, dude. He used the excuse that he's afraid to shoot a man to death who in no way, shape, or form posed any sort of threat to this officer.
And that's,
so you call that what you want.
Well, that's one point that I would try to make here is that... like, regardless of how you feel about this case, one thing you can't refute is that police are a class of citizenry that is above the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. The thin blue line.
Well, you know, you can call it what you want.
That's what they call it.
And certainly, you know, So the idea is that you know, these servants are supposed to act with our authority. The badge is granted with the idea that they're imbued with the rights of the people who are you know, whom they serve. And that is, you know, it's a great notion. What it has practically come to mean in this country is that they operate in you know, in a way that is that we could never operate. Mm-hmm. If I was walking down the street and somebody reached into a waistband or something legitimately, we'll never know exactly what happened with Philando Castile because we don't get to see exactly what the cops saw.
He was supposedly going for his wallet.
Well, right. I mean,
and it was shot to death.
Isn't that what happens when you, you know, get stopped? You have to present your credentials.
Yep.
So, you know, when the cop started yelling, perhaps he should have thrown his hands up, but you know, maybe he was arguing with them, and police don't listen to a thing you say, probably because they're not supposed to listen to anything you say, because many people that they deal with want to lie to get out of whatever they deal with. But if you met, for whatever reason, somebody on the street reaches for a waistband, reaches into their waistband or whatever.
And you blast them?
And you pull out a gun and you shoot them a few times.
And you tell the jury that you were scared?
And you tell the jury, I was afraid they were going to shoot me. How is that going to fly?
It ain't going to fly.
Are you
going
to walk? And if the answer is no, you're clearly not
going to
walk, then we all understand that police operate at in a different sort of world than we operate. That they get a different you know, view from the juries and that sort of thing. And I think that that's the first thing we need to look at, is that this this class of people in a country where there is not supposed to be class and title, there is.
Let's go to the phones here. I've got the video here that I just watched. We'll play the audio. The audio is crystal clear. You can understand everything the officer and the victim.
The concealed carry permit holder.
Yes, the victim who is a concealed carry permit holder.
By the way, concealed carry permit holders are less likely to commit crimes than police officers. We just had a story about that the other night.
But
so if you want to take a class of, if you want to look at a class of people who's unlikely to commit a crime,
it's them.
A concealed carry permit holder would be one.
Let's go to Hung Like Jesus. He's calling us from Georgia on Skype. Hello, Hung.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey.
Philando Castile is not even the most recent cop that skated.
Oh, I'm sure.
The cop that shot a boy that was running away from him I think it was Minnesota. He shot him 14 times.
In the back?
In the back. And I'm not even sure where it was 14 times. So, you know, it doesn't matter where that is.
And what was the supposed reason for that?
They said he had a gun, but he threw it. He threw the gun away as he was running away. That's what the story was. The cop wasn't in any kind of danger.
Of course not. Generally, you're not in danger when
if you're shooting somebody in the back. It's unlikely that you're in danger.
Right.
So what was you said this was New York where that happened?
No, it was up in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Okay. And was it what were the other circumstances surrounding that? Like, why did he get? Why was the cop talking to him in the first place, or whatever?
I think it was I'm not really sure because it happened a little while ago. And the only reason I know about it, I remembered it now, is because they just had a trial and the cop, he was able to go home. But I think it was a traffic stop. I'm not sure.
Which is what this was with Mr. Castile. He had a burnout brake light.
And that's but then they also said it was he was a robbery suspect. I don't know how those two work together.
Oh, really?
But anyway.
Well, this is how it goes. They say that there was a robbery certainly committed. Where's Philando Castile? What was it?
Minnesota.
There was certainly a robbery in Minnesota someplace. Philando Castile fits the description.
Meaning
right?
He's black.
Well, I mean, he's a young black male. Maybe he has braids in or something like that. Of course, a crime has been committed by somebody who fits that reasonable description. That's not an excuse, right? It doesn't even enter the realm of excuse. It wouldn't happen for me or you, so therefore it shouldn't happen for this police officer. There are twice as many shootings in the United States by police officers per capita than there are in Canada. There have been more shootings in the United States in this year up to this point than there were in Great Britain in all of the 20th century.
That's true.
Iceland has had one police shooting. Now, I understand there's population differences here, but I think that it's pretty clear that for whatever reason, police in the United States shoot people at a significantly higher rate than people who are in the, civilized world or whatever terminology one wishes to sort of slap on these
things.
What
is the reason for that? Do you think it's because they know at some level that they'll get away with it?
I don't
know. That they can get away with killing?
I think it's kind of the Old West thing.
I think they know they can get away with it.
Apparently they can.
Because a dead man is not going to be able to tell any kind of story. But anyway,
I'm amazed they left the girlfriend alive.
They have video on this one. The guy's a concealed carry permit holder. He's done everything that he needed to do to be able to carry that gun the way he carried it. And he was executed, essentially, because, poor judgment. I don't think we can call it anything else, but poor judgment on the part of the police officer.
Well, the reason I was calling is because of that. Black people in general in this country, America really needs to be really thankful. We need to be glad tonight that black people have been beaten down and made so passive till we'll take these things, sit down, we'll just wait for the next one. We'll just wait for the next hashtag. We'll wait for the next news report. If we got together and said it's not going to happen anymore, every time they take one of us, I'm not advocating violence, but whatever. This is every time they take one of ours, we'll take two of theirs. But they
that
come
sounds
together.
Like advocating violence. Yeah.
this is where I feel right now.
Oh, I don't blame you, man.
Do you think that
killing us wholesale? It just seems like there's no punishment for it. You just go and just go kill somebody, and I'll get a 2-week vacation with pay.
Yep, that's right.
I'll go to court, then I'll skate 2 months away from that.
Pretty much. I don't blame you for feeling the way that you do. I don't.
But it didn't work
violence.
In Dallas, right? Like the shooting that went on against police in Dallas.
Where they killed like 5 or 6 cops.
Yeah,
or something?
It's not like it changed anything.
It depends on what you mean by it didn't work.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me what worked. What worked about it?
Well, I don't know if the way I see it, it worked for that person. He knew he wasn't going to make it out of there, and he got his message across.
Suicide.
He knew he wasn't going to make it out of that situation.
I imagine.
And I'm pretty sure the cops think twice now. Maybe they'll shoot faster now. I don't know. But whatever his message was, I'm sure he got it to somebody. And
I think the consequence of violence in this case is you're going to see an even worse police force.
It doesn't matter when it comes to the cops. You can be violent or not. You can reach for your wallet or not. and they're going to kill you. You can run away from them, they're going to shoot you. Like the guy in Charleston there. This dude was running. He was about out of breath, or he would have ran maybe another 50 yards, maybe, and he would have stopped.
Well,
but the cops shot him in the back. And if it wasn't for the videotape, you'd have got away with shooting that
You're
guy.
Absolutely right. Hung, thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We got the audio and video here. We'll play that in moments. And you can share your thoughts with us. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. Are the police out of control? It's Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll-free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Disturbing video from the Philando Castile case. More video has come out. I guess there was an initial video that his girlfriend live streamed after the shooting happened, and now the video from the police dash cam is available. And there's a, I guess, a combo one that CNN apparently has put up on their website that kind of cuts in between the two of them. And I'll play that coming up here in moments. This is a gentleman who was shot to death, a concealed carry permit holder, who was shot to death in Minnesota by a police officer who was supposedly afraid for his life. And so anytime a cop says he's scared, he has the right to murder somebody. And the jury has completely acquitted Mr. Officer in this particular case. We'll tell you more about that coming up. You can share your thoughts. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You know, you've probably heard us talking about Bitcoin. If you're... As long as you're not brand new to the show, you probably heard us talking a lot about Bitcoin here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you've thought about getting some, but the first step to getting Bitcoin is to actually get a Bitcoin wallet. You got to have something in which you can kind of store your access to that that Bitcoin, because you don't actually hold the Bitcoin in the wallet. The wallet technically holds your private key, which gives you access to your Bitcoin. But you need to have a wallet, and we've got an official wallet here on Free Talk Live. It's called Jaxx. It's available to you over at jaxx.io, or you can go to the Google or Apple App Store. It's cross-platform, so you can use it on your phone, you can use it on your desktop computer, or you can even have a browser plugin for it. Go to jaxx.io. It can hold Bitcoin, Ether, Dash, and a bunch of others, the other cryptocurrencies that are out there. You can give it a try. It's free. Jaxx.io. There's also Shapeshift integration, which makes it easy to exchange between currencies right there in the program. It was created by Anthony DiOrio, who is a Free Talk Live listener and one of the founders of Ethereum. They make it easy to back up your wallet and recover your funds with Jaxx. So if something goes wrong with your phone, as long as you got your backup phrase, you're good to go. You won't lose access to your Bitcoin. Jaxx is striving to give you command over your digital life. Coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. It's your digital command center in the palm of your hand. It's Jaxx, the official wallet of Free Talk Live at jaxx.io. Let's go to Bob. He's calling from Eureka. We got more coming up about the police shooting, but you can also bring up anything you want. Go ahead, Bob. Hello? Bob in Eureka?
I'm stuck here. I'm in a different age group. And I have an old-fashioned landline phone, and I'm crippled, and I'm going blind.
Oh, no.
And I have a
Sorry
phone.
To hear that.
Well, that's okay. This guy got stuck here.
Where are you
but
stuck?
Arcata, California.
Okay.
And I need to talk to people that think they're important.
Well, that's
and
not
you know
me.
Well, you guys are cool. That's important, man. Everybody's important.
Okay.
Talk to your mom. Everybody is important.
My mom thinks I'm important. You're right.
I would hope so.
Yep. Okay.
But so, anyway, what I needed to do was ask you if occasionally I could call and say, man, I need this number. These are like government guys. They think they're unspeakably important.
What number?
And they're going to put me through five phone numbers that I don't have.
Okay.
And I can't see.
I see.
And they're going to like just say, just go die. And that's worse than being shot.
So you're saying,
you know
just to
saying?
Clarify, you're saying you feel like you're stuck in this town in California, Arcata,
it's,
California.
I don't feel like it. I am exactly it.
You're literally stuck, you say, in this town.
I can't walk, and I can't see.
And you've called some government number asking for a different number, and they
no,
don't help
I,
you?
No, because I can't see. I have a phone book, but I can't see the numbers in the government.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
And so I wanted to know if after a while, I don't want to interrupt your time. But after a while, if I were to call and say, could I please have this number because I can't get the phone truck to come and fix my phone?
Well, we can't provide you with those sorts of services. I mean, we host a talk show. So the point of Free Talk Live is to talk about issues. But there are, I mean,
Well, that's an issue. I'm being electronically held prisoner here.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what I want to talk about. But I'm just saying, you know, we don't offer that kind of service that you're discussing.
Yeah, we probably won't be on the air.
Then you would call it directory assistance.
Yeah, that's 411. I think they probably would be able to help you.
Yeah, well, they don't do that. 411 is, I'm in a sensitive location. The people that own the building offer free surveillance for the, it's kind of like a Stalag.
A what?
Live in a Stalag?
What is that? What is a Stalag?
It's a dude, and it's a like an electronic.
Like a gulag?
Stalag.
Yes, it's
Sagan?
A Stalag is a German prisoner of war camp for allies, prisoner of war.
Yeah, so. I've been through history that far.
Well, I didn't
know. My partner who hasn't.
I didn't know. Yeah. I went to government school. You have to forgive
it's
me.
Like, it's like standing in front of Sergeant Schultz and the Narconom at Nuremberg.
So where are you, in some sort of government housing facility? Where are you being kept?
I don't want to say. I just need numbers.
Uh-huh.
Like if you talk in front of Schultz, he'll kick you out.
Now, tell me this. Do you have internet access?
I do not.
Okay, why not?
Because they control the police department that says we're going to move you from place to place until you have everything stolen from you.
This sounds
and
really
you
bad.
Have nothing.
This sounds like a really bad situation. What prevents
it's
you from...
bad.
Now, I mean, how blind are you? Are you legally blind? Are you completely blind? You know, can you see, like, blurry stuff? Like,
I'm blind. Macular degeneration. I'm blind enough to where there's no way I'm going to get a number out of the phone book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you could see something. You could see, like, you know...
If I write it down, I have a magnifying glass.
Okay. So you're not completely blind. You're legally
if
blind.
If the magnifying glass won't magnify enough that you can see something that's in a phone book, right?
Right. Yes. Okay.
I see.
Try reading a ship's chart. Those things are really small.
Now, do you have... okay, so how old are you?
I'm going to bump into 70 pretty quick.
And how long have you been in this place that you can't tell us where you are?
Well, about 4 years.
Why did you go there in the first place?
The police changed.
Changed what?
They changed. They talked to the real estate office. They engineer your life. If you have a cell phone, they'll track you. And they'll edge you over one way or another. They steer human life. It's called engineering. Have you heard of Amy Jacobson?
Like the police
have
in a little town?
Have you heard of Amy Jacobson?
No, I have not.
No.
I can't get her number.
Okay.
It's really a good thing.
Who is it?
Some girl he knows.
Amy Jacobson. No, she's worldwide. She's been engineered like myself. I can't get in touch with her.
Engineered.
George Norrie, if I had a TV and a computer, I could do that.
Now, why don't you have a computer? Are they preventing you from having it?
From place to place, the police will make sure you don't have stuff.
If you're a blind man?
If you're anybody broke up here.
If you're broke, okay. So,
or if you're moving around a lot, you can't carry a lot of stuff if you don't have a car and you can't walk.
Well, the good thing about computers these days is they're real small. So you could totally, like, you know, if you could afford one, you could get a phone. And I think even the government...
Do you know what an EP3 Orion is?
No, it sounds scary. What is
that?
But
I have the internet.
Look it up. Look up the EP3 Orion.
What is it? You're going to have to tell us, because some of our listeners don't have internet.
It's a Navy airplane.
Uh-huh.
Since 1962, they can tell you everything you said on the phone.
Why is it that you can't just leave this place and just start walking?
I can't walk. My neighbors have to go to the store for me.
So I don't want to be cruel here. Are the chances that you're in a mental facility?
There is no chance.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, like, some of the things I'm hearing here have that
everything
sort of...
in California is a mental facility.
All right.
But basically, there is no freedom.
Hang on, Bob. Hang on. It's Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here. More coming up on the shooting of Philando Castile, a concealed carry permit holder in Minnesota, shot to death by a police officer during a traffic stop for a burnout tail light or burnout brake light. It's Ian and Mark in the studio here with you. We're going to continue with your calls and thoughts, and you can bring up anything, as our current caller has done, but I do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. Maybe you're brand new to Bitcoin. You want to learn the basics. Bitcoin.com is a great place to go to do that. Or maybe you're old school. You've been around for a while. You want to get the latest news on what's happening with Bitcoin. You go to news.bitcoin.com. Jamie Redmond, one of their major authors over there, has a piece out from today entitled Scheduled Scaling Updates for the Bitcoin Network Are Getting Closer. This is a great overview piece on what's coming up on August 1st. For the Bitcoin Network. I was looking through it there during the break, and just great news coverage, the latest on what's happening in the Bitcoin and rest of the cryptocurrency universes over at news.bitcoin.com. They've got games you can play with your Bitcoin over at bitcoin.com and more. You just head on over to bitcoin.com. It's a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. That's bitcoin.com. We got Bob on the line in California. He says he is crippled. He can't walk. He's also going blind, and he can't find phone numbers he can't read the phone numbers in a phone book. He called asking if he could call regularly asking for phone numbers, and no, I'm sorry, you can't. This is a talk radio show, and that would be incredibly boring as far as radio is concerned. But then he got into kind of like a little bit of a weird sounding zone, Bob, where you're talking about the police watching you all the time and preventing you from being able to leave.
They hang out in front of like hotels, motels, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some people stole $900,000 from me, lawyers.
Jeez, that's bad.
Yeah, well, I called him. He doesn't answer. But the thing of it is, I need to talk to my friend. He's an EP-3 pilot.
And this is some sort of jet fighter?
Everybody should study airplanes.
EP-3
hangs around and looks for submarines.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And you need to get in touch with him for what reason?
I do, because he has documents that I need.
Now, what sort of documents? Or what do you reveal?
$50 million worth of purchases from Moffett Field.
From what?
Moffett Field Air Base.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand what $50 million worth of purchases from Moffett Field is going to do for you.
It just means important call.
An important call, Mark. He's got to be able to call this guy. Here's what I'm going to offer you, okay? Because, I mean, I don't feel like we necessarily have to do this, but I'm going to offer you this because, like I said, we can't do really anything else for you. It's just a talk show. We certainly can't provide you the service of searching numbers for you. But there may be somebody out there who is willing to help you. If you want to take the risk and give your phone number out over the national airwaves, which may get you all sorts of calls. You might find a girlfriend. You might find a stalker. You know,
find an impossible number of black helicopters that would take me immediately to Arizona.
So this is your opportunity. If you want to go ahead and give out your phone number.
No? Okay.
Okay, well, then I can't help you.
I just need somebody to help. It's like Howard Hughes asking
you want help, but you're not willing to give out your phone number so someone who's willing to help could call you. Because I bet you there's somebody out there listening who's like, I could help this guy. You know, he needs me to look up some number. That's an easy internet search. That's no problem. But if you're not willing to share that info, then we can't help you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, you could if you wanted to. But, you know, you don't want to because you're crazy.
He doesn't want to say where he is, and he doesn't want to give out his telephone number.
I thought that was very prescient that you said he might be in a mental facility.
Yeah, well.
Possibly the case.
You actually sort of jumped up and down, covered your head like I had insulted the poor man.
What?
That's what
it looked like. No, I thought it was funny. Let's go to Julian in Russellville, Kentucky, listening to WKCT. Julian, you got to turn the radio down. Julian, you got to turn that radio down, man, or we can't put you on the air.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
gotcha,
go ahead.
Brother.
You know, like I said, I was just talking about I was a deputy in the early 90s, mm-hmm. and I went through the academy. And then I was prime Marine Corps. I was making $7.25 an hour with a deputy sheriff.
Hmm. Man, that's low.
That sucks, don't it?
Yeah.
But I like doing the job. I like helping people out. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately, I never had to come about. You know, a couple of times I could have shot somebody, but I was using my head to just talk them down what they was doing.
Good.
And I think what it is a lot of times nowadays, police police officers are under so much stress, and they're thinking about your family. Well, am I going to live? Am I going to die? What?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they jump the gun sometimes.
Yep.
But when you have situations like the police officer there, what, in South Carolina or whatever, when the guy was 20 feet away from him, shooting him in the back, and that's way beyond, that's not, that doesn't make any sense.
Not okay. Not okay. There's no excuse in the world that could justify shooting a man in the back as he's running away, right?
Well, there's the fleeing felon.
That doesn't prove any kind of immediate danger.
The fleeing felon rule, Mark, is what?
The fleeing
felon
rule.
You can just blast any old felon you want?
Basically, if somebody's guilty of a felony and they're fleeing.
Well, you don't know if they're guilty.
Well,
they haven't been tried.
You can have some presumption.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And when you get these jury members on there, you know, I don't know if they're the majority black or white or whatever, but you got to think about that. You know, you're worried about your family, but then again, you know, this guy is 20 feet away from me. Why should I shoot him? He's not doing nothing to me.
Right. Yeah, I think what you're saying here, you're pointing out, Mark, is that there's this rule, this fleeing felon rule, that justifies shooting people who aren't posing any danger to the cops just because the cops supposedly witnessed them commit
people.
A felony.
So if somebody breaks into your home and steals a handgun or something of value and they're fleeing, you can shoot them in the back.
I don't know if that's legal advice I would give anybody, Mark. You might want to be careful about that.
I've done some wild stuff, too. Like I said, and like if somebody's outside your house beating your car with a bat, you can't shoot them because there's no danger to you. But if they're lighting a fire to your building and trying to start a fire, you can shoot them.
Julian, thanks for your call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you with your thoughts.
Well, like I said, I'm pretty much a Republican, but then again, you got to look at these areas the way they go. You know, right is right, wrong is wrong. That's just the way it is.
I'm with you. Thank you for the call tonight. That's Julian in Kentucky. Mark,
Tell you that there's a story recently out of Texas.
Mark is not an attorney, by the way. Anything he says is not legal advice.
I am a talk show host who can read articles.
All right.
Out of Texas, where two guys who were of Latin descent were leaving a house. The next door neighbor was in charge of sort of watching the house. He basically is on the phone with the 911 folks and basically says, I'm going to blast him, and then does. So,
fleeing felon rule, according to Wikipedia, says that at common law, the fleeing felon rule permits the use of force, including deadly force, against an individual who is suspected of a felony and is in clear flight. Force may be used by the victim, bystanders, or police officers.
Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be able to use the fleeing felon law in every state or jurisdiction across the country. I've heard all kinds of things where people who had legit shots were charged or whatever happened to them. But I think that serves to point out that there's a difference between what police can do and what the rest of us can do. When it comes to rights, you can only license your rights out that you have. And so a police officer really can't have any more rights under the law than an individual does. Now, it's their job to go walk up to cars and those sorts of things, and I think that needs to be taken into consideration when looking at this sort of thing. But if you've got somebody who's just, you know, a little too nervous and fidgety to be going up to cars, ethnicities make them more nervous or whatever, maybe they're not qualified to be a police officer. Police deaths in this country have been going down since 1974.
It's a safer job than ever.
It's half what it used to be.
According to Wikipedia, Mark, under U.S. law, the fleeing felon rule was limited in 1985 to non-lethal force in most cases by the case Tennessee versus Garner.
Oh, that's interesting.
The justices held that deadly force, quote, may not be used unless necessary to prevent the escape and the officer has probable cause to believe
that to prevent the escape, okay.
May not be used unless necessary to prevent the escape, and the officer has probable cause to believe that the suspect poses a significant threat of death or serious bodily harm to the officer or others. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, dial toll free, bring up anything you want. Our number here, is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We've been talking about the Philando Castile case, man who concealed carry permit holder shot to death by a trigger-happy cop who has now gotten away with the killing. We'll tell you more about that. I've got the actual audio from the encounter, which is chilling. We can play that for you coming up here in moments. But you've already weighed in here with your thoughts, and lots of folks are on hold. So we're going to get to you with your calls and thoughts about whatever's on your mind. Ian and Mark here in the studio on this live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live as we go to the phones and to the fun. First up, Robin is in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Robin.
Hi. I just want to tell that guy that's fine. First thing is that if he can dial 411, they'll look the number up for him and they'll dial it if he wants them to dial it.
Yeah, he was claiming for some reason that that wasn't available to him.
I don't know, but...
it's probably because he's crazy.
I didn't hear that.
But, you know.
Well, it is very difficult because I had eye surgery this past winter and I couldn't see for about 3 months and I couldn't use my phone and it was very difficult and no one knows what it's like until it happens to them.
Oh, I believe it. It must be horrible.
The reason that I called was I heard something about cross-dressing.
Yeah.
Were you talking about that?
We were talking specifically about a group of young men, boys in a secondary school in Exeter, I believe it was.
Yeah,
or Exeter, England, who were protesting, and this was in our first hour of the show for those just tuning in, they were protesting a prohibition on wearing shorts at their school by wearing skirts, because apparently the girls are allowed to wear skirts. And so the protest was successful. It actually garnered international press coverage, and the school has now decided that next school year they will allow the boys to wear, school-approved shorts.
Well, I used to go to the Philadelphia Folk Festival in the summer in August.
What festival?
And Philadelphia Folk Festival.
Oh, folk. Folk, okay.
Philadelphia Folk Song Society, and it's usually, you know, pretty good weekend, mm-hmm. a long weekend with a lot of bands. But I did a video one year of all the men that were wearing skirts, and a lot of them were wearing kilts, and some of them were wearing, well, they were wearing women's skirts, long skirts.
Hmm.
I mean, they don't make skirts for men except for kilts.
Right.
And they were wearing, like, women's gauze dresses, like hippie kind of clothes.
Okay.
And they loved it. They all, I don't think they were gay. They just loved, they thought it was so much fun. Anyway, I made a video, and I sent it into America's Funniest Videos.
They still doing that show after all these years? That thing's still on the air?
I don't know. But it would have won.
It was a good
video.
But
they sent me the paperwork, and I didn't know who most of the people were.
Right, because you've got to get releases. You've got to get everybody who's in the video to sign off on, yes, you may use my likeness in theory to possibly make money from it or whatever, or else you can't, or else the TV station can't display the video. That's interesting. I never even thought for a moment that they would have been doing that, but it makes sense that they would. Robin, thanks for your call tonight. Appreciate the story. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So there you go. There's the lesson learned. Next time somebody, you know, runs off their roof and then takes a dive and cracks their head open, you want to send that into America's Funniest Home Videos, because that's what they almost all are. It's just people hurting themselves. You want to send that in.
There's a lot of cute animal ones.
Make sure
kids.
You get their permission first before you do that, or else it's not going to qualify. So there's your tip. But yeah, the cute animal ones, you can't go wrong with cute animal ones. I just don't think it's funny.
You get all that stuff on the internet now.
That's true. I just don't think it's funny when, you know, people hurt themselves. Generally, there are some that you can't help but laugh at, but some of them it's like, oh, it's just more of like pain watching it than anything else.
It's interesting. So I find it to be a very base sort of humor. I agree with you completely in your description of a sort of, you know, sometimes people do some incredibly dumb things and then mm-hmm. they get hurt and then sometimes I'll chuckle or whatever. But you know, I just don't like to see people generally get hurt.
Sure.
And it seems to be a very base sort of humor, and I would hope that that's something we can put behind us as a species.
Not anytime soon, man. Not anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to take no joy in people's pain. But,
right, because you should be able to empathize. Like, that could be me.
But if they do something stupid, I find that it's more difficult for me to empathize.
Sure.
Right? Like, oh,
that's what you
hold
get.
My beer kind of thing. Well, then, you know.
And it's interesting that you point out, you know, all these things are available online now. And why does anybody need America's Funniest Home Videos anymore now that
somebody's
we have
YouTube? Somebody's already made a GIF of it.
A GIF of, oh, the video.
Whatever it is.
But it's interesting, like that show was around back in the early 1990s, I think. Remember when Bob Saget was
the
host?
What an incredibly talented comedian.
Yeah, well, he was able to be for a long time sort of in the family comedy world when in reality he was like a real blue comedian.
Pretty raunchy. Yeah. He did a version of The Aristocrats.
Oh, God, don't even.
Yeah. Well, people can look up Aristocrats if they want.
No, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't.
you shouldn't.
You really shouldn't. Don't do that.
But, I mean, you know, to me what it shows is his depth and breadth as a comedian. I think he's just really incredibly talented.
And so, like, it was almost like a predecessor to the internet, right? Like, they were collecting all these cool videos that people would have enjoyed watching, and now you don't have to let some editor do it for you. Now you can just do it online anytime you want. All right, so speaking of online, we've got a YouTube channel. You can go to youtube.freetalklive.com, and you can find our YouTube videos from every single night of the show that we have them. We don't have them when we were up at the campground last week, so there's about a five-day gap. But otherwise, we're pretty much here in the Keene Studios in New Hampshire every night, and you can watch the show. If you prefer to watch it, you can do that at youtube.freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Jason is in Greenwood, Indiana, listening to WIBC out of Indianapolis. Hey, Jason.
Yeah, going back to that that one case where the cop decided he was going to be trigger happy and pull the trigger on a concealed carrying permit person.
Yep.
I don't think that guy should be qualified to serve, period.
He did lose his job.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he get it back?
Not at this point, but...
Because a lot of times they'll hire him back.
He can't get it back.
He got found not guilty on those charges, so there's a good chance that he's going to get his job back.
Could be.
Because the police unions will go to bat for him, and they'll get their way. Jason?
Yeah, well, with the way our law system is set up, with the cops, they kill someone. Hey, you know what? We'll go to bat for him, whatever it may take.
You got a what? I'm sorry. I couldn't quite make out what you said there.
You know, with the cops, the state will go to bat for them and say, you know what? Here's what it is. We'll go to bat for this cop.
Yep.
He killed this guy, and there's nothing you can do about it.
No, there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. And all the cop ever has to say is, I was scared. That's why I shot that guy. I thought he was going to hurt me, even though there was no evidence whatsoever in this case. Philando Castile, law-abiding person who had
evidence. There was testimony. So
there was no evidence whatsoever that this cop was in any danger. I don't care who talked about. I don't care how the cop said he was afraid. There was no reason for him to be afraid of this guy. The guy told the cop, "Hey, I have to let you know.
I agree with you.
I have a concealed gun or whatever. Right. I can play the audio.
I don't know what world where somebody says I have a concealed
weapon.
And
then blasts the
and
cop.
And then pulls it out and shoots you.
Right.
I mean, this is a traffic stop. He's, of course, going to go for his ID.
It's crazy. It's crazy what happened in this case. Jason, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to Eric. He's in Delray Beach, Florida, listening online via LRN.FM's app. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, guys. I've done some research on this Castile case, and I put together some notes here. If I could, I'm going to try to work through them quickly. I had an observation regarding the man who called in who is disabled. First of all, I'd like to just say to him, I think you should consider calling a local church or some other kind of outreach
group. But he can't get the number.
Surely he can get a church's number.
But he can't. He said he can't read.
I understand. Yes. I got you guys. Yeah.
He could go to a church. Okay.
He says he can't leave.
Yes, he can.
He says he can't. He says he's crippled.
Unless you're in prison or a mental facility in the United States of America, you can say, I want to go to a church, and somebody will get you to a church.
I tend to agree with you, but he says he can. He says he's trapped there.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead, Eric.
Randomly dial telephone numbers, and somebody will come get you and take you to a church.
Yeah. Well, I hope he can be liberated from this situation.
Yeah.
Secondly, I had an observation, and I sometimes I feel like there's really good callers, like Hung Like Jesus before, who kind of wanted to get something a little bit more out. And I know it's difficult. You guys run up on breaks and stuff like that. But, gosh, I would have liked to hear more from him. He's one of the few people that I know has self-identified on the radio
station.
Stand
by, Eric. Well, we had him on for the bulk of the segment, and, you know, we got to get other people on here. But we'll bring you back here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the live Saturday edition of the program. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
And, of course, you can join us here toll-free at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. For those of you just tuning in, we, in the last hour, were talking about the shooting death of a concealed carry permit holder, Philando Castile, who was killed by a cop at just a pullover. You know, it was Minnesota. Pulled him over for a burnout brake light, apparently, and then promptly within a matter of seconds shot him to death on the side of the road as he was going for his wallet after having informed the officer that he was a concealed carry permit holder and that he was indeed concealing a gun. And we can play the audio for you here. We actually didn't even get to that last hour. Just calls already rolling in on this, and we've been talking with you about your thoughts on police violence in general. I'm so tired of seeing these stories. I try to avoid them at this point. I mean, I'll see the headlines, but I purposefully don't click on them because I've seen so many of them. I mean, we've been doing this show for more than, you know, just about 15 years.
Right. I don't need to, affect my mental health by watching a whole bunch of, these
it's
people
horrible.
Being killed. I don't care who's doing the killing. I don't want to see the videos if I can avoid it. In some cases, I have to, and I hope that I have to bear that or whatever, but I prefer not to.
Let's go back to your calls and thoughts, though. Eric was on the line in Delray Beach, and he brought up a concern about, you know, one caller that was on earlier. His name is Hung Like Jesus. He's one of our Skype callers, and a great caller, always has something, you know, intelligent to say. Always enjoy his calls. And we had him on, I think, for pretty much a whole segment talking about the, you know, police violence and his opinion about it. And, you know, you were saying you would have liked to have heard more from him. And I get it. It's a constant balancing act running the radio show here and trying to decide when someone should stay and when someone should go. In Hung Like Jesus's case, I felt as though he had made his points. And we were pretty much had, you know, reached the end of that particular conversation. It's not unheard of for us to put him on hold and hold him through a break. We've done that before with his calls on multiple occasions. He is I wouldn't say a regular caller, but he's regular enough to where you know who he is. He's identifiable. He's recognizable. So he's certainly someone we're going to hear from again. So it's not as though, you know, you're never going to hear Hung Like Jesus.
And
again,
I think another thing that is really sort of difficult as a listener is to understand what it's like to be a talk show host. Your job, Ian, and you sit in the first chair most of the time, your job is to decide when a call ends. You need to keep the show interesting, keep it moving, keep propelling the conversation forward. And the way you do that is by taking calls and ending calls. And, people generally never feel like they got everything they want to say said. And so it's not uncommon to finish a call to a talk show where you're like, I had things I could have said, more things I could have said.
Sure.
But the nice thing about Free Talk Live is, A, you can go download and listen to yourself right there at freetalklive.com. It'll be available tonight at around midnight Eastern time. And two, we do another show 21 hours from the end of this one.
You can always call again. Anyway, Eric, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, and guys, I have nothing but respect for you both, and I did more an observation than criticism, and you guys are absolutely right. So I wanted to get into the Castile case.
Sure.
I've done a bunch of research on this because it's so disturbing.
Yeah.
So I believe it's a murder.
Yes.
Okay. I think, That's a tough thing to say, but I have watched and looked at everything, and that's what I call it. I wanted to get into the officer who murdered him, Officer Geronimo Yandez. The thing that really concerns me the most about him at this point is that he went and took a class called Bulletproof Warrior, which the mission statement is to make the decision to shoot if the police officer ever feels their lives are threatened.
Mm. Which is what he said, which is what his excuse was in the jury trial for manslaughter charges. He said he felt as though he was scared, and so therefore he had the right to shoot because he's a cop, and a cop who feels scared can shoot anybody they want to.
Yeah, this is basically a testimony, molding class, essentially, for, law enforcement and people who might be in that sort of job.
And what was it called again, this class?
Bulletproof Warrior.
Okay, it's called the Bulletproof Warrior, and it's offered by a company called Caliber Press. Uh-huh. Now, the other interesting thing about Caliber Press is, okay, I can see the caliber. You want to have a higher caliber officer. Okay, but the way they spell caliber is in the firearms spelling of caliber.
Yeah.
B-R-E at the end.
Yep.
There's a lot of tells here. I was in the Marine Corps. I don't have a law enforcement background, but I do know, I've been around this stuff a lot. And I am extremely concerned by just the overall militarization, Mark, you absolutely nailed it. Are we really sure at this point that we are getting people who are qualified to be police officers? And that's what you said, man. And it was just like, bunk, was he qualified? With the nationwide lowering of standards, which has been talked about by numerous different people on both sides, including what has been documented as a search for low IQ or lower IQ mm-hmm. off candidates. We've had training officers with 20, 30 years history coming out saying, hey, I'm not getting the quality of candidates here. And this is an excellent observation by an international training safety executive. His name is Michael Bakar, and he's from the International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement Standards and Training. What he's saying here is that he thinks seminars like this foster a sense of paranoia among officers. Police training has become very militaristic and caused a lot of the problems going on in the nation. Now, I'm sure we can find people that'll say something different.
But this is a cop who's saying this about the Bulletproof Warrior kind of experience, that training?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Now, think about this from this aspect. I mean, the term warrior has a certain connotation mm-hmm. to it, right? Aren't these supposed to be servants? Aren't these supposed to be public servants who are there, peace officers who are there to protect and serve? That doesn't sound like someone that is at war, or at least it shouldn't be someone who's at war with this at war mindset. When you're at war, you have an enemy. And in this case, who's the enemy? Is it the people that you supposedly serve?
Well,
or do you create them? Do you create them when you feel threatened?
Mm-hmm.
Getting into that, this militarization thing has gotten so out of control, and it's being fostered. This violence against police thing is statistically. I wish I had it right here, but there's a guy that went through these numbers on cops killed in the line of duty, police officers. Okay. And what you get from, like, Fox News, even from, quote-unquote, more left-wing people, and, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a left-libertarian, I'm not any of that stuff. I'm just a, I guess I was sort of an anarcho-capitalist or whatever. And so, this isn't a leftist argument, but they are skewing the numbers on the death of officers in active duty. And
if people want to look out there, it's relatively easy to find. I would even...
Yeah, one of the things that they do is that... I can tell you with firefighters, if you have a heart attack within 24 hours of a call... As a firefighter, it's considered an on-duty death. Now, I'm a firefighter, and you know that's how it works in our department, as I've been informed. So, I would presume that there's other, you know, that sort of they pad the numbers, as it were. I think that what people imagine when they hear an on-duty death is they imagine a police officer shot.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, no.
They had a heart attack.
There's automobile accidents. Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly dangerous to be in a car, and police get in automobile
accidents. There's so much dishonesty from these official police departments. Hey, Eric, thanks for calling with your thoughts on this. I do appreciate hearing from you. And by the way, this Bulletproof Warrior thing, the website that they have, Caliber Press, they have a video, but it's been taken down from YouTube. I wonder why. Mm. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us right here. Bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
If you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast and can be confirmed instantly. There's a lot of buzz going around the Liberty community here in New Hampshire about Dash. I'm hearing it left and right. People discussing how if they need to send like cryptocurrency to somebody, they're shying away from using Bitcoin due to the crazy fees that it's experiencing these days, and they're using things like Dash. You can pay anyone anywhere in the world anytime with Dash for just pennies on the dollar. It's decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. So join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now, so go to Dash.org and find out why. As we continue here, we'll take your calls and thoughts about what's on your mind. Deborah's in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
Hey there. What's on your mind tonight?
I wanted to talk a couple things. First, if Bob will contact George Norrie, I will call up there on coast to coast and leave my phone number and see if I can't help him. I usually call the library when I need some information because 411 does not seem to understand what I am asking for.
So the library will just look up phone numbers for you?
Yes, and they'll look up on the internet and stuff too.
Wow,
and
that's great.
Since he can write big enough to read his own writing, that might be helpful for him.
Interesting.
And I always tell every one of them when they're done, I appreciate you.
Yeah, sure. It's always good to show gratitude for people who help you out.
Yeah, give it too long and the internet will take over the librarians. So we need
probably
them.
True.
Another thing that I wanted to say is that
sure.
I sat on a jury once, and the young man that was the defendant for shooting and injuring someone, his sister had been being beat up on another street. She ran home, her clothes were torn. Well, eventually the whole crowd followed over to his street,
mm-hmm.
including the other girls' mothers and a whole bunch of kids in the van. And so this young man brought his gun outside and said, get out of here. And he shot at the tire of the van.
Okay.
He was unfamiliar with the kick of his gun, and he injured a teenager who unfortunately will never be the same.
Mm.
But eventually, the rest of the jury finally said, if we change our vote to yours, can we go home? Because they wanted it to be straight out murder. And he was not intending He is black, so were all the rest of the people, but he had purchased his gun legally and had it licensed. And I fought like crazy because I just said he did not intend to harm anybody.
Wow, so what you're saying is 11 of the other 11 jurors were wanting to find him guilty. You wanted to find him not guilty on the count of murder, and they were willing to flip if that meant they could just go home.
Yeah, because they thought I was trying to stay long enough to get another day's pay.
Oh, my God. Why would anyone?
The $15 or whatever they had?
Jeez. So did they flip?
And the judge came back and talked to anybody that wanted to stay, and she said had she been the one making the decision, she would have chosen that, too. It would not have been the full book. And I saw the public defender a few months later down on the street and went up and talked to him, and he says, I thought it might be you. And I said, you tell that young man get every bit of education he can get while he's in there.
Yeah, it's
and I'm white.
Very difficult to. Thank you. It's very difficult to get the education in some prisons. You know, some are easier than others, but you know, it just depends on what they offer. But you know, they do have something, and it's a good idea to get it, whatever it might be, even if it's welding class.
So, just to be clear, the other 11 jurors did flip to not guilty on that count.
Every one of them.
And then they found him guilty for what? A lesser charge?
It was, I don't know, not attempted manslaughter, but, you know.
Negligent, maybe, or something like that. Negligence.
Yeah. What?
Maybe negligent manslaughter or something like that. Hey, thank you, Deborah, for your story tonight.
That's a great
story.
The kid didn't die.
Right. Okay, good point. Hey, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
So this is one of the reasons I just hate juries. Okay.
Right. They just want to go home.
They have no business being there.
They're not professionals.
If you're not prepared to do the work. First off, they're not being compensated to, you know, make a good job. They're not experts.
You get a sandwich and like $15 a day.
They don't understand the law. You know, I mean, it just, should sit in front of a jury of my fellow ignoramuses. I mean, that's what you're asking to have happen here. I just really dislike them. The stalwart juror like this, and it, you know,
good for her.
The stalwart juror like this is kind of rare,
right? Because most people will go along with the group.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been countless psychological studies
in human behavior more than anything.
Right.
And at up to this point, what we've seen is humans are small group primates that don't tend to stand on principle and law.
Right. We're not that far away from shrieking and throwing poop. I mean, really, we're not that far. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you, Mark. Having seen many jury trials or multiple jury trials up here in New Hampshire for activists who should not have been found guilty, I've seen it happen again and again.
I don't have a great solution. But I don't have, you know, what we should do instead of jury trials. I think what we should have is, I would say what we should have is more private arbitration that should happen far more quickly. Our criminal justice system is just broke, and juries are only one of the ways that they're broken. I think that the plea bargaining system, the fact is that if you're charged with a crime, the likelihood of you making it to a trial is like a third of a percent. I'm talking about 1/3 of 1% is about the chance of you getting a jury trial. And that means that either the charge has been dropped against you, or in all likelihood, you took a plea bargain because the state's attorney doesn't want to take this on. He makes some kind of deal to find you guilty. So everybody who goes through is either has a charge dropped or they're guilty. And we know that lots and lots and lots and lots of people are not guilty. They just don't think they can win.
That's right.
And they don't want to sit in freaking county jail as an innocent person, because our system presumes you to be innocent until proven guilty, but throws you in jail. What kind of system throws innocent people in jail?
This one. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom.
Speedy trial, my butt. It takes 3 years to take something to trial. They should have 30 days to bring you to trial.
Well, you also need time to prepare as well.
That should be the defendant's choice.
Right.
But the state's attorney should have to have a case together in 30 days.
855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. What do you shop for that you could otherwise buy at Amazon? Pretty much everything, right? Amazon has competitive pricing and they deliver, and that's a big plus. If you could plan ahead in your shopping, would you be interested in saving up to 33%? There's a catch. You have to do your shopping in Bitcoin. But imagine those savings. It's like a huge raise. All you have to do is go to saveitpurse.com. We've saved thousands, and you can too. Plan ahead and save. Saveitpurse.com. It's Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything you want, although certainly a lot of people calling in tonight about the police state, the likelihood that cops are going to use violence in a situation where they really didn't have to, but they knew they could get away with it, and so they did it anyway. That's the Philando Castile case, where a cop shot a man to death who was a concealed weapon permit holder, who informed the cop in this case that he was carrying a gun. So, you know, normally that would, you would think that would set somebody at ease. Because, you know, if you're a cop and you pull somebody over, you don't know what's going to happen, right? Like, that can be a scary circumstance. Your adrenaline might rush a little bit. I remember Barry Cooper, former narcotics officer from Texas, who we had on the show years ago, when we were doing the interview with him, he would talk about how he'd get an adrenaline rush after just in the very beginning of his police days, just pulling somebody over. And then eventually that went away for him. So he had to come up with new ways, more dangerous ways to get his adrenaline rush, because he was hooked on it. He was hooked on that adrenaline.
He wouldn't get it from me. So when I'm pulled over, and it's happened to me before, well, the first thing I say is, officer, you're being audio and video recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a dash cam, and I have it for a variety of reasons, but I just want, not, you don't legally have to tell them they're being audio and video
recorded.
Did you
get a new dash cam?
I have the one that, at this point, the one that you had, the one that the overlay for the rearview mirror.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, yep. It's great. I love that one. I love it. What's the brand?
Falcon Zero?
It's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, so
if you're going to get one, you can go to shop.freetalklive.com, and then Free Talk Live will get a portion of the purchase price. I got mine from Amazon, so you just go to shop.freetalklive.com.
That's our Amazon link.
It was like 130-something bucks for a two-camera front and back, you know, front camera, back camera mounted. You can rotate the cameras, and
you're in an
it's
accident.
Pretty slick.
You've got the evidence right there. You're in good shape.
And it looks like your rearview mirror. It literally clips onto the rearview mirror. It's amazing.
Yep. And has some video
in
there.
A screen in the mirror where you can press a button and it gives you a heads up display.
Yep. You can see it. It's awesome. So I first say, officer, you're being audio and video recorded.
Yep. Okay.
And the whole time, before the officer comes up, I have my hands at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel.
They can see them as they're walking up.
I want them to see my hands.
That's right.
Okay. And then if they ask for my license and registration, I say, I'm going to reach for my wallet, or I'm going to reach into the glove compartment now. You know, there's no weapon in there. I'm not, you know, or something like that. I have a very matter of fact conversation with them. I don't think the vast majority of them think I'm going to do anything. Okay, sir, you know, things like that. They'll be saying along the way. I don't imagine they think I'm going to do anything. I just want to put them on notice that we're going every step of the way, and I am documenting.
You're going to say it.
Yeah. I'm documenting what I'm going to do. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I know, and that officer knows, that they can shoot me and get away with it if I don't have the evidence. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's a video, which, you know, say streamed to some service or something like
that. Like Cell411 at getcell411.com, which has live video streaming, which if you've got your smartphone with you, you just send out a Cell411 alert, and then you can start streaming video to anybody in your friends list who wants to watch it.
Yep, the evidence should be all right there. Look, I'd much rather walk away with a ticket that I can fight in court if that's what is necessary, than to have to deal with some permanent injury or death. Thanks. So that's how I do it.
I do want to play this video at some point, and we're probably not going to do it tonight just because we're loaded up with calls, and I want to get to your calls and thoughts first. But
as we should.
But this video is it's very disturbing, and it deserves some analysis, and I don't want to not do that at some point, so maybe we'll do it tomorrow night when we get the chance. Let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We're talking about the shooting of Philando Castile, again, concealed weapon-carrying holder, shot to death by a cop on the side of the road for no reason, besides the cop claimed he was scared. Let's talk to Ryan. He's in Tallahassee, Florida, listening to WVFT-FM. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind tonight, Ryan?
I'm a 3-time combat veteran, Army paratrooper.
I totally think that this guy should have been charged with manslaughter. I wouldn't say murder, and there's a reason why.
I agree. You mean the cop?
Yeah.
You mean the cop in this case? He was charged with manslaughter, but found not guilty.
Yeah, but he should have been found guilty of manslaughter.
Yeah, he should.
And the reason being is there's so many things here. I've watched the video and the audio. Fear took over, which he's supposed to be in entrusted with controlling that properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem here. He made a bad judgment call, unloaded 7 rounds into this guy with a child in the back.
Yeah,
right. That's something we have not mentioned here, and thank you so much for doing it, is this officer discharged that firearm within mere inches, multiple inches, but mere inches of a young person.
Right, not to mention the girlfriend, too.
Right.
Yes, and so they could have been easily hurt.
Oh, yeah.
That being said, I do want to make a note. You were on the you were right on the money with where I was going to go with the one of the things that the gentleman that was killed said was, I have a concealed permit. I have a firearm on me. And the officer said, okay, well, don't reach for it.
Yep.
He did give an instruction there. And I have a concealed permit myself. Now, my hands, like you said, are always on the wheel, and there's no way I'm going to reach anywhere near my firearm with the stuff that's going on in our country, because they can blow you away.
Yep.
by saying, I felt that he was going to shoot me, which that officer may really have felt that way.
Yeah, but sure. I'm not saying he didn't feel that way. Obviously he could. But is he qualified to do the job if every time he stops somebody who says that they have a gun, that he's got to blast them because they reached for their wallet?
No, and right. That's the problem
right.
that we face as civilians is because most folks don't conceal carry and don't know what they're doing. And then those that do... The guy was trying to do the right thing, obviously, by stating, I have a firearm, I have a
right, in a lot of states, that's a mandate. You have to inform the officer in a situation like that. A lot of states have that.
Yeah. I want to take one brief moment to thank the concealed carry permit, the concealed carriers here in this country for doing what it takes to keep me safe, for taking careful action every single day to be prepared to keep me and my family safe. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, and this guy was a freaking cafeteria server. He wasn't, some thug on
some gangland thug.
Three felonies.
Just a hardworking guy.
And where is what about a taser? Why couldn't it be electric? This guy, shot him in the chest with a taser, which is still extreme force, but that would make more sense than lethal force with a baby in the back. A pregnant female, I think she was, if I'm not mistaken, and then you unload 7 rounds because he reached for his whatever he reached for. We'll never know because the guy's gone. But that's scary. You know what I mean?
It sure is.
Keep your hands on your wheel.
I agree with that. I agree with your advice here. Keeping your hands on the wheel and speaking, having a recording going on, speaking out loud about what you intend to do, and take it slow. I understand.
Eye contact too.
Yeah,
it's really important. Have eye contact with that officer.
Yeah. Hey Ryan, thanks for your call tonight, dude. I appreciate your thoughts. Yeah, it's hard to say that this guy did anything wrong.
I'm not claiming he did anything wrong.
I'm not saying you're saying that.
Yeah, I just want to make. I'm not trying to sound.
But there are things you can do better. Yeah. There are things you can do better, and I think you've given some good suggestions here. Where let it be known, let that officer know exactly what you intend to do. If that officer then and again, I don't remember exactly at which point after what was said, at which point that cop draws down on him. I don't know if he'd drawn on him because I only saw
it went
the video
quick.
Once.
Yeah,
yeah. It all happens very fast. But as soon as that cop starts escalating the violence, that's when you need to be even more cautious at that point. Move even slower. Don't do anything until officer. I'm not here. Not here to hurt you. Hands on the wheel. Look, if you're worried about that gun in my waistband, I will exit this vehicle. Keep my hands in the air and allow you to disarm me. Do whatever it is that you can to make whatever offer you can to de-escalate that situation. Because these people are, you know, on an adrenaline rush, and they can get away with killing you right there in the streets. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here and you can bring up anything you want in these remaining moments. But if you're not already on the line, then there's no way we're going to get you on.
Hang it up.
Phones are loaded up. Well, you don't have to hang up, but if you're already on the line.
Hang up your hopes of getting onto the show.
If you're not on yet, right? If you're on the line, we might be able to get you in here. It's Ian and Mark in the studio here for the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. If you don't get in tonight, it's no big deal because we've always got another episode right around the corner. Because we're here 7 nights a week, live from 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time. So if you are not able to get in tonight, well, any other night is just fine. Whether we're on your local radio station or not, we're still here doing this show on some stations all around the country. And, of course, online as well over at freetalklive.com, where if you want to support the show for $5 a month or Bitcoin, you can get behind us with the AMP program. Please go to AMP, A-M-P, AMP.freetalklive.com.
Healthcare coverage in this country is all messed up. I think we would all agree. We need a healthcare system that focuses on health and not one that focuses on sickness. So, you know, health insurance pays for treating sickness, but it gives you nothing for being healthy. Doesn't that incentivize illness instead of health? Well, there's a free market healthcare company that can give you freedom from health insurance. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. They give you a proactive health assessment daily if you want it or need it. A no charge 24-hour access to doctors. HIPAA is, of course, messed up medical records, the way they transfer them back and forth, that kind of thing. One doctor doesn't know what the next one's doing. How about a medical information card that you could give to EMS, first responders, emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want? You can check them out right now, healthexcellenceselect.com. Any kind of doctor, traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage, they did great work for me. You'll love the service and the price, because if you pay for your own, you're going to want to check this out, healthexcellenceselect.com.
All right, so I do want to play just the most outrageous, relevant portion of this video, just so we can have it, because I did say, well, I'd only watched it this one time. So up until this point in the video, this is the death of Philando Castile, the concealed carry holder who, got killed by a cop completely unnecessarily. Up until this point that I'm going to hit the play button, it's been a relatively routine pullover. Cop, talking to him about his brake light being out, and then Philando...
Very short.
Yeah, and then Philando says...
I have to tell you, I do have a firearm on me.
Don't reach for it, then. Don't pull it out.
Yeah. And then it goes on after that, and it's just a horrifying, just scary video.
Right. There's no video of what actually the police officer saw, and that's, imagine, the difficulty here. But, it's tough. Tough situation.
Yeah, and so I was, what I wanted to see was how quick that cop went for his gun, and basically as soon as he's saying don't pull it out, he's unholstering his weapon sort of out of sight of the man.
It would be one thing to hold the weapon on Philando, and...
Which he does not do at any point. He simply pulls
until
and fires.
You see a gun,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
To, before he used to begin firing.
Right.
That would seem like the judicious use of a firearm.
Slightly more sane way to handle that, yeah, for sure. So let's go to your calls here and thoughts. We have Scott. He's in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Mark. Ian.
Hey.
Mark covered a lot of what I was going to say, largely. I'm a lifetime carrier here in my state at the... We're also not required to inform if we're stopped, but I still do, and I have done on the three occasions I can recall that I've been stopped while carrying it. Yeah. But all three of them were while on my way to work, so the gun was with me, not on my purse, because I'm not allowed to carry them in at work or my particular job, so I just have it either under the seat or riding shotgun, as it were. And the first time it was under the seat, and first thing I do, I shut off the engine. Turn on my dome light, hands on the 10 and 2 position on the wheel until he comes to the window. And then he explains what he wants. And as he asks for my driver's license and registration, I say, here's my driver's license. Here's my pink card, which is what our permits look like in my state. And say, the gun is here in motion with my head. I don't move my hands. And explain everything I'm going to be doing. Well, the first two times I did that, he said, that's fine. I see where it is. Just don't move toward it. get, you know, I explain I'm going to get my registration out of the glove box. I do step by step. Nothing bad happens. The third time was the only time it was slightly different, and he just said, if you wouldn't mind, would you just hand it to me, butt forward while it's still in the holster, and I'll keep it in the car while I'm checking your plates, and then bring it back. And he did.
Interesting.
Everything goes smoothly. And the one case this happened in, this Castillo character, I'm sure he didn't intend to shoot the cop in question here. But the question is, do you really know that? He says don't make a move toward it. Who knows why, but he did not, you know, comply. He didn't keep his hands still. If he told me not to move toward it, by God, my hands are going to be super glued to the steering wheel. I'm going to do everything he says. And I'd prefer to go home alive at the end of the day. I don't think cops go running around saying, I hope I can get away with killing people. And your use of that term is pretty flippant and pretty damn insulting, I have to say.
Which term?
I mean,
what term?
You saying cops getting away with killing people. You did say
they
that.
They do get away with it.
I think it's
all the time.
You seem to think, and my beef with that is you seem to be making sport of it because, I mean, let's face it.
I'm not the one who's killing people. And I'm not anti-police.
You're also extremely anti-cop.
That's false. That's not true at all. I have actually assisted the police with... I have actually assisted the police with investigations when they're actually investigating real crimes with real victims. When the cops are out there actually going after real criminals, I got no problem with that, and I'm actually willing to assist. But when the cops are going around busting people for possession of marijuana, underage possession of alcohol, running through a stop sign...
What's legal and what's not, right?
Yeah, that's darn right. I'll determine what's right and what's wrong.
You can determine that. Not the law.
I'll determine what's right and what's wrong. I don't care what's legal, dude.
Okay. Well, you're an asshole.
You know what? You can't say that on the radio. Thanks for the call tonight.
I tend to agree that you are an a-hole. But with the gentleman...
I'm not killing innocent people in the streets, and calling them out for it doesn't make me an a-hole. That just makes me honest.
Oh, I just think you're an a-hole generally.
You're projecting.
What his assessment of what the situation is that Philando Castile could have done something more perfect. And I agree, Philando Castile could have done something more perfect.
Yes, you could have
handled
it differently.
But that is holding a police officer who is getting a paycheck and a pension to a far lower standard than you're holding a young man who's working for a living and has a concealed carry permit. Let's not forget that in this country, concealed carry permit holders commit far fewer crimes than police officers do. Mm. The fact that one has a badge, at this point, if we want to make blanket statements based on somebody by looking at them, we need to say he's got a badge, he's more likely to commit a crime than a concealed carry permit holder, because that would be looking at the facts. Okay, so in this situation, a citizen should not have to, a person should not have to act perfectly in order to not get blasted away in front of their child and girlfriend because some police officer is frightened, right? Like, that's what, I'm not hiring you to be frightened, officer. I'm hiring you to be a bulwark against the wave of crime that is crashing against our society, or so we're told. Yeah. In fact, it is significantly more safe to be a police officer these days, and significantly less likely that crime's going to occur. But that's what they're hired for. They are hired to be that line of defense, not to use a this notion that you can shoot anybody you want because you're scared.
Which is always what they say. That I mean, we've seen this so many times.
In my line of work, I report on government malfeasance.
Yeah.
Government malfeasance includes police officers shooting people. They are the government.
Right?
They are the government's, the tip of the spear domestically. That by that I mean the spear is a weapon of violence, and they're the tip of it. If you commit a crime, according to the government, and a crime is simply, you know, laws or just words written down paper by liars and thieves, that's all laws are. The police.
Oh, don't say that to that caller. Boy, oh boy, he believes the law is something perfect.
Does he believe politicians are something perfect? Because I suspect he does not. And this is the dichotomy that must exist in the law and order mindset. Mm-hmm. I had that mindset at one point, and now I understand politicians are pieces of filth.
Yep.
In general, and how can I expect the products of pieces of filth to be somehow good and holy when the people who make them are not? What is more likely? It is more likely that politicians are trying to grow the size of government because they're lawyers. They're trying to make it easier for lawyers to make a living.
Yep, get more jobs for lawyers.
It's a lawyer industrial complex to create more work for lawyers.
And the police are just their tools. They're just their tools. And the police should be able to judge whether a law is bad or not. That's what I want from a police officer. I want a thinking police officer, a peace officer, who can look at a bad law and just laugh at it and say, you know what? I'm not going to enforce that one because it's clearly unconstitutional. It's clearly morally wrong, whatever. Again, I'm not talking about any law, you know, specific here, but there's plenty of them. You know, you can go back in the past and look at all kinds of bad laws, like, oh, the Fugitive Slave Acts, for instance, you know, Jim Crow laws. I mean, you can just go through.
But all the bad laws are fixed, Ian.
It's ridiculous to make a statement like
right.
that.
It is historically myopic to make a statement like the idea that somehow at this point in time we have finally got all the injustices out of our legal system.
If you didn't
Please.
Get in tonight, no worries. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock at night Eastern Time. Join us then online in the meantime, freetalklive.com. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here. And I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.